Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we are now beginning the podcast and everyone can hear each other. You can hear me. We're all in the same sphere.
Yeah.
And everything is okay. My blood pressure has returned to normal. Maureen's fingers, you can uncross your fingers now, Maureen, just to let you know that that whole crossing fingers thing was a waste of your energy and time. But we are all here. Maureen, I can't hear you.
No, I haven't spoken, that's why.
Oh, but normally there's like a, at least I can hear a breath. Just for a brief moment, I was like, holy shit.
Can I just say that's what happens when Jen is talking to me and I'm listening for once. And then she'll go.
Jen's like, are you okay?
No, no, she doesn't say, are you okay? She goes, are you still there? Are you still there? I'm going, I'm listening.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's very rare for Maureen to listen, so this I just assume she's usually just switched off or hung up on me, which has happened a couple of times. Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith. Anyway, it's irrelevant. The backstory of this start of this particular episode is not relevant to what will be the continuation of this particular episode. We shall now be moving forward and past what has been a journey. Alison, talk to me. We have spent a lot of time with each other this week, but I also know that you've had your own hell of a weekend.
I had a great, I mean, if we say weekend, look, I was with Jen in Glasgow, which was really lovely. That was really lovely. We did shows. And then every train in the world from Glasgow to everywhere was canceled because there was, get this, in England, are you ready? Heavy rain.
Well, not even in England. You
can
have to
I just say,
in Scotland.
Don't say in England. Glasgow in Scotland. Scotland.
In the UK. Let me repeat that. In the UK, up in the Scottish area, there was heavy rain. I just want to say that again. Heavy rain in the UK. And so things stopped working. I'm just saying, what, 70% of the time there's rain in the UK? But anyway, there was heavy rain, so every train stopped working. So I took a bus, everyone. I took a bus from Glasgow back to Manchester. There was a rave going on. There's a rave, everyone. I didn't even know kids still went to raves, but there's a rave. And so I was on a bus with kids huffing balloons and getting ready for a rave. They were playing music. And I don't blame the bus driver for not doing a damn thing because I wouldn't have ventured into that either. So I had a rave coming back to Manchester. That was fun, everyone. I've never been to a rave before in my life.
I was on a bus yesterday and asked the guy, perhaps not in the most polite way, do you not have headphones? Anyway, he put his headphones on.
I mean, the irony of that particular conversation that you had with that
right
chap.
Now
is not lost on me in any way at all, Maureen. But anyway, that, again, we're moving forward. We're not going to dwell on what happened before the start of this podcast. We're moving forward.
Yes, I can imagine the tone of voice, Maureen, which was a big, do you not have any other friends? And the bloke would have shat himself, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What happened? Did he put his headphones on, Maureen?
Yes, he put his headphones on.
God, I wish you had been on the bus with me. You could have said that to all 37 teenagers.
They just would have ignored you, basically.
They would have passed you a balloon. Yeah, here, lady, I mean, take this.
Chill out, love.
I wanted the night bus from Edinburgh to Manchester. Oh, my God. That was hell on earth. And then, even better, I was a guest on Gaydio that morning. So I had to answer a competition with some weird answers. I had to do like named dances. So the woman next to me is watching me. So I'm like going, Foxtrot, two-step, cha-cha-cha. It made absolutely no sense whatsoever listening at, you know, 8 a.m.
Claire, do you know what? I would have loved to have been next to you when you have next
Tango.
Just to see everyone's face go, what the
hell? Is she on about? No context. Thinking, fucking nutter.
No context. Context, like... Q&A for Maureen on a night bus?
It was a night bus from Edinburgh to Manchester.
But the show was in the morning.
The show was in the morning, and then I remember going to Gaydio and then sleeping under their table because I was so tired. Oh my God.
You don't sleep on these things. I mean, I went on the sleeper train from Glasgow to London. Okay, I was really looking forward to it. I romanticised it in my head, and. Sorry, I just got distracted by Maureen grabbing a cat. Anyway.
Grabbing a pussy.
Anyway. Grabbing a pussy again. As she's wont to do when I'm speaking.
It's the effect you have on me, Jen.
It's the effect I have on a lot of women. Not just women. So I'm on this. I turn up. The show finishes. I don't know what time the show finishes. But anyway, I finished the show at the Pavilion Theatre in Glasgow. Beautiful theatre, by the way.
So beautiful.
Congratulations, Glasgow. What an absolutely incredible theatre you have there. So beautiful. If you get a chance to go and see anything there, I urge you to go. And it's just a walk down to the central station. It's absolutely tipping it down.
In Glasgow?
Tipping it. I mean, like, torrential. And it's been raining since we arrived, wasn't it, Alison?
Yeah.
So this is now 5 hours later and it's still, there's been no change in the weather. It's still absolutely tipping it down. I am accompanied by an old friend and a musician, Horse. If you know of Horse, you'll know that she has been gigging for many, many years and is a stalwart on the music circuit. And anyway, she's brilliant. So do go and see her. She's back on tour. But anyway, her and her mate walked me down to the station with the umbrella. So I was like, you know, I was sort of in a good mood. I just finished this show. I knew I was going to have a weekend off. I was like, I can't believe it. I'm just going to have a weekend off and this is going to be really, going to go on this train. I turn up. By the way, the Caledonian Sleeper is really lovely. It's really lovely. You go in. The cabins are tiny, but I expected that. I went to the place where you go for the first class bit where you can pay for like some food or a glass of wine. Still hungover from 2 days ago having a drink with Alison and Jenny Goatley. So I hadn't recovered from that. So I was in the carriage. I just had a bite to eat. And I thought, you know what? It's midnight. I'm going to go straight to bed. So once it takes me like half an hour to take my clothes off in what is essentially a cupboard, I managed to get into bed. The bed is the width of my body. I'm not necessarily a big woman particularly, but it is the width of my body, and I'm like, okay, that's fine, it's a bunk, that's okay. And then the alarms start to go like that, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's odd, wonder what that is. I thought, well, it won't go on forever because it's bedtime. So I go to go to sleep. Then about 20 minutes later, anyway, this continues for the next, I don't know, 2 hours.
This is just the alarm on the train. I'm sorry, on the train.
It's not alarm on the train. It turns out I am sat, my cabin is next to their office. So there is a, I don't know, like a
phone.
I suppose a phone or a bell there or no, like a no, system where they communicate with each other.
I
and
can't
that
even.
Goes on pretty much all night. I'm like, I get to like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm literally delirious. I'm like, I gotta sleep. I'm so tired because I've already been on the road since like Tuesday. This is Saturday morning. Okay, I'm tired. Anyway, I finally get to sleep probably around 4:30, and I'm woken. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just arriving at London Euston. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. All change here. All change. And I'm like, I've had about an hour and a half. Not even proper sleep, but just sort of, you know, I don't even know what you would call it. Like, I was just drugged. I drag myself out. They give you a free breakfast. I'm so jet lagged from this not sleeping. Do you know when you haven't slept, you're like, the last thing I want to do is eat.
No, I've never been in that position.
You know, yeah. I was like, I just want to go. Well, I don't know, maybe if you've done 5 shows and not been on the road for 5 days and then only slept an hour and a half, that might be the one day more in where the thought of food makes you feel nauseous. But that was definitely my day. I felt really like physically sick. And I thought, all I want to do is go home.
Could you not move cabin? Could you not ask them to move your cabin, or was it packed?
No, it's packed. It's so, and also there's no one to ask. Yeah. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but that bell is ringing because there's no fucker
there. There's no one there.
The reason why that keeps ringing is because whoever's supposed to be in there isn't fucking there. Anyway.
I'm surprised you didn't. I mean, I would have probably just gone out there trying to rip it off the wall.
It's locked. That's the other thing. Bastards. The door's locked. Yeah. Also, when you know you're really tired, you're like, it took me 30 minutes just to get inside the bunk. It's so tiny. You're like, if I get out, I don't think I'll ever get back in again. So I'm still recovering from that experience.
Oh, it's such a shame because you were so looking forward. It sounded such
you
a
were
great
so,
idea.
I was excited for you. We were all so excited.
I've always wanted to do it. I've always wanted to like go up to Fort William on it.
Well, my advice is
go during the day.
If they give you, I think it's like, okay, all right, I'll tell you what my cabin number. If they give you K1, please ask for a different cabin. And all, but saying that, it's really, look, the actual cabins are really nice. Maureen, you'd love this. They put chocolate on your pillow.
Ooh.
Little bar of chocolate on your pillow. There are earplugs, but they don't drown out the sound of that noise. Just to let you know. But the actual train itself, it is, I don't want to put people off because it is. I think it could be a really lovely experience if you're
not in K1.
If you're not in K1, yeah. But other than that, I think it would be a magical experience. And there is something romantic about, like if you'd been even with a mate, you know, in the cabin with the where you have your food, it's quite a nice experience just to sit there and have something to eat and maybe have a drink, and it's really lovely, so I would recommend it. It's just
don't go to K1.
Avoid K1.
Hey, I've had quite I've been making use of my time, which is something I'm really bad at, as Jen knows. Like normally I just like I'll get to 4 o'clock and I've done an hour's writing and an hour's admin, and I'm like, oh, I don't know where the time got to. So I've been doing something called behavioral activation. Have you heard of that?
Okay, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's actually really, really good. And also, if you're like me, I tend to put off stuff, you know, and then you get down because you're putting off stuff, and then you put off more stuff, and it's like a vicious circle. So basically, you have to divide your routines into into routine activities, pleasurable activities, and necessary activities. So you put 3 groups, and then you rank them, you know, easy, not so easy, more difficult. And so the first week you have to structure your day. So you have to do a couple of things. Like you start off with the easy stuff because then it, you know, it kind of incites you.
Oh, it activates you.
Activates you to do more. So I did that last week. So you did 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, 2 in the evening. And obviously with people who've got a day job, then your day is pretty up with work. But it was good for me because actually I found myself doing more stuff and being more active and getting stuff done that I needed to get done. Obviously, the days I went gigging, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it kind of all fell by the wayside.
Sure.
But I knew I had...
Oh, that's normal.
Yeah, but I knew I had stuff to do, so I actually did do them. you know, and actually I thought it was quite good. It made me, like, the days I was here, I definitely used my time more, because Jen knows I'm so bad at using my time because I've got so much of it. And I found it really good. And I think it's very good actually for your mental health as well, because you
feel like, definitely.
Because you feel like you're achieving stuff, because, you know, you're like, I've done this. And you give yourself pleasure as well, because I think when you try and, either you try and do too much and it lasts 2 days and then you're back to where you were before, or it's just, oh, I've got to do all the necessary stuff. And also I was doing pleasurable stuff. So I had a pedicure. I know it's winter, but it was nice.
No, it's always good to have a pedicure. And it's called,
oh, Maureen. And a massage. No one's going to, absolutely, I'm so proud of you. That's brilliant, Maureen, because you're doing all of this off your own back, you know, and also it's really hard to even start doing stuff like that. And the fact that you are doing that is really, really, really good.
Yeah, that's why it's good to start with easy stuff. Do you know what I mean? Stuff that's, you know, there's, because there's still
absolutely
stuff I'm putting off, but you kind of feel more incentivized to do the harder stuff because you're like, okay, it's not that big a deal, you know?
Well, you know, the thing that and Chloe always tries to get me to do this, and I try. I don't always do it, but it does always make me feel better when I do it. It's like, and I'm sure Alison is already doing this and has been her entire life. But when you've got these things done, if you write down the things that you've wanted to achieve that day, and then you tick them,
yeah,
and then you can see what you've achieved. You can go, oh, I've done that, and I've done that, and I've done that. And there's a lightness to it because you think, right, well, I can stop thinking about that now because I've done it and I've achieved it. And that day book that I bought you,
yes,
is a really good place, please, to use that to go, what am I doing today? And then when you've done it, tick it. And anything left over, you pass over to the next day.
Yeah.
Yep. I even went swimming last week. And also, I'm trying to go to bed. This is another thing. Going to bed, obviously not when
I'm gigging. Same time.
But yeah, at the same time. So I was actually in bed before midnight, which is unusual for me, as Jen knows, by about 4 hours. And so I, you know, and then so I slip, you know, I'm getting up at, and trying to get up at, because Chloe's very good with you, making you get up at an early time. Was I just lounging?
Oh, yeah, she's good at that.
Yeah, she's really good at that. You don't get any choice in the matter. But for me,
I imagine your children are good at that too. I imagine your children are good at that.
Yeah, they come in.
But even before the children, Chloe was always made you get up at a certain time, didn't she? She was like, you've got to.
Half past eight.
I remember that.
Up you get.
And I would be looking at Jen going, are you mad? Anyway, but I am now getting up.
I got in at 2. Come on. Half past eight.
I got up. So I'm getting up at 9, which obviously for most people who've got a proper job is late. But for me, it's pretty early. So
Maureen, it's great. I want you to give yourself a pat on the back, because I think also you should be really pleased with yourself. You're doing so many proactive things for your mental health, which have been really, really good. And by the way, noted by everybody, because you look great.
Yeah.
And you look, you do. But in yourself, there's a lightness that I've missed. I missed light, Maureen. And I can see her coming back, and it's wonderful to see.
Yeah, because for those who don't know, people know I've had a few problems, but they don't know all the problems I've had over the last 3 years.
No, but also you've had a lot to contend with,
yes,
and I mean a lot, and you've dealt with it, you know, on your own, and you've been so fantastic at managing yourself and being proactive at you know, like when you do feel yourself like slipping into a depression, which would be completely understandable, that you've been taking positive steps to mitigate that. Mm. And we're both very proud of you. In fact, I'd like to take this moment, Maureen, to say that we love you.
Oh, thank you very much.
We do.
Now, we're not going to dwell on that because that's not what this podcast is about. What we are going to move back towards is Maureen Younger has obviously done something fucking stupid. Let's find out what that people body moment is.
I messaged Jen. I have just put olive oil in my eyes. I was like sitting there going, why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No, you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen.
I love the we go right from praising her to give us your stupid moment.
Of course. It's the yang that comes with the yin, and she has to handle it.
It's the British way. Well, it's going to be a very short beam of Maureen. It features Jamie. Jen knows this.
Yes, I know this, Maureen. And so Jamie, does Alison.
Oh, yeah, Alison knows it. Oh, I was going to try and surprise Alison. Turns out that Jamie is not a he. Jamie is a she.
That's the best.
Maureen, for fuck's sake. Oh, do you know what? I mean, in your defence, I did meet the cat. But there was a little bit of me. I said to Alison, I know the cat hasn't been like castrated or spayed or whatever. So it would have had a pair of bollocks hanging. Because cats have got two furry bollocks that are very obvious.
Well, I didn't know that. I don't go around looking at cats' genitals.
Well, I mean, they just hang at the back of the body, really, just below the bottom.
I was told it was a boy, so I just assumed it was a boy.
Maureen, do you know what? As I said, in your defence, you were told the cat was a boy.
I was told it was a boy.
Until you went to the vet and the vet went, no.
No, it was really funny because I just assumed it was a boy, obviously. Because, you know, if I've got a spare 10 minutes, I'm not checking my cat's genitals. I'm not a twat or a pervert, am I? So I just was like, it's obviously a boy. And then we went to the cat because I was being a good mother. And it's really funny at the vets because they go, Jamie. And I'm just sitting there because it's not my name. And they're going, Jamie Younger. I'm going, there's another Younger here. Anyway, it was obviously the cat. And it took me a while to figure that one out.
Why is that woman called Snappy? Why is that man called Mitzi?
Or Rolo or something. Anyway,
Rolo, yeah.
Anyway, she went in. And just out of interest, it is a boy. And she picks Jamie up and goes, no, that's a little vulva. I was like, okay. I'm still calling her Jamie. She ignores the name anyway. So
Jamie's fine.
Jamie's
unisex.
Jamie's a versatile name.
Jamie
yeah.
can be unisex. But Jamie Winston is a girl.
Yeah. I sent to Jen said to me actually when I told her, she goes, that would have been just typical, like, you know, in 6 months' time, going, my cat's getting really fat, and then not realizing it was pregnant.
More would be like, turns out I don't need to have my cat castrated, already been castrated. 6 months later, she's pregnant. I think my cat is.
I think my cat might be a girl.
There's we've got six more kittens, so yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that you found that out now, Maureen.
It makes a big difference.
But isn't now? Look, another bit of estrogen in the. But you know,
I just thought that is sod's life. Sod's law. I thought I had another man in my life. Even the cat let me down. Even the cat wasn't what he meant out to be.
You know how you're constantly surrounded by lesbians?
I am. This is. I'm going.
And now, at that one point, you were like, finally, there's a man in my life.
Now it's another.
It's another female.
It's another female. Oh, my God.
But I love. We can see Jamie in the background there. And I love that because Maureen's bought her little Kit Kat a. What would you call that?
Cat tree.
Like a scratching post, a huge.
It's a scratching post of a tree. Yeah. And look, she loves it. She's having a lovely time up there.
She's always on it. And she's very, very affectionionate now. Only in the mornings and late at night. I wanted to take a photo. She was
Same with my children. Mornings and late at night.
She was lying over my body with her arms up because she wanted her belly tickled. It was...
Oh.
She loves you, Maureen. She loves you. And I'm glad to see that you've properly bonded with your female kitten.
Cat.
I'm going to say, Maureen, that I don't think there's a single person that's been listening to this podcast for any amount of time that is surprised by this gender reveal.
No. I mean, I love it. I love that this has happened. Not surprised, but it's, what is gender anyway? Who gives a shit, right? This is the day
and
age.
You've got no idea how she's identifying. Well, Maureen, that is a classic Be More Maureen, and I very much enjoyed that. When you texted that to me, you should have seen the eye roll. It was big.
It's awesome.
Maureen Younger, thank you very much for your Be More Money moment. Another classic, one for the annals. One for the anals?
I don't know. For the anals!
One for my anals. Let's go back to Alison. Alison, I know that you have a problem that no one else can help with because you are the A-team. Let's find out and let's ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Because I ain't using it.
take my advice. I ain't using it. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much. This is a return writer, which I love. Thank you, return writer.
Return customer.
I know. I'm so delighted about it. My disclaimer, I am not a therapist. I have no education in regards to any sort of help of any sort. I just, my family's sick of me talking, so I'm giving out advice to anyone who wants it in the world. Here we go. So I am the gal who wrote about how I could boost my daughter's confidence earlier this year, and I'm happy to report that she is doing much better at school. She has settled into another group of friends.
Oh.
She adores her teacher this year, and she got into the school play, which she is very excited about. Can I say, first off, I'm so happy that she got into the school play. Drama changed my life. So I'm so happy that she found something that she is excited about. I know she's going to have a great time. Being involved with a play is... it's so fun, right? Maureen, come on. Such a good time being in a play. Like, you're just going to form relationships. You bond with the people. I'm so happy. Okay. Now, this writer has a problem of their own. We are most likely to move early next summer. While I hate change and deep down I don't want to move, I know that it will be good for me and my family long term. I will go back to school after being home with my kids, and we will be able to afford a house that fits our better needs. We don't know anything for certain yet because I haven't applied to schools, but the move will be inevitable. But... when do I tell people? I just started to nourish my social life again after COVID, and I have made a few new dear friends over the last year. It will be hard to leave them. I am very tempted to tell them our time together is limited. I want to spend as much meaningful time with them as possible. Is this too much? Am I betraying them if I don't tell them now? I guess what it comes down to is the question of what's the protocol for letting people know that I am deliberately going to leave them. This sounds melodramatic, but that's the space my big heart is in right now. Hey, listen, I think if these people are people that you love and you're developing these friendships, you absolutely got to tell them, right? They deserve to know. Also, they'll probably want to know maybe their actual physical time with you in this place is a little limited. But I don't want you to think that these relationships also have to be over. Don't think of that, right? Look, if someone also is your close friend, they deserve to know. They deserve to know what's going on. Also, look, you can maintain relationships from a distance. I barely have physically been with Maureen and Jen. And, you know, we are still, I know more about what's going on with them than I know what's going on with Danny some days. And I live with him in the same house, everyone. So, I mean, look, distance is no longer an effector. There's Zoom. Who knows? You might be moving to a place that these friends are going to want to come and visit you. You might want to go back and visit them. So please don't think at all that these relationships are ending. They're just shifting. Also, I just want to praise you for going back to school. Can we just give this person an applaud right now? I'm so proud of you. Good for you. It is so hard to make that decision later on in life. But also, you're going to meet a ton of people now that you're going back to school. Look, this new place that you're going to, there's about to be a bunch of friendships and relationships that you're about to develop. So I'm so excited for you. I think this is going to be wonderful. And I just think you should look at this as gaining more people in your life, not losing. Gaining more people in your life. So I know that's not really advice, but I just want to praise you and say, look forward to these things that are about to come. You can maintain the old relationships. You're going to gain new ones. Look at nothing but greatness is about to happen in your life. And thank you for sharing all of this with us. It's nice to know that, you know, we affect people in a positive way and that you want to continue to share your journey with us. So congratulations. I'm so proud of you. Let your friends know. They might want to throw you some parties. They deserve to know. Nothing but good. That it's not advice, but I just wanted to praise you. Thank you so much for writing in again. And I'm so proud of you. There we go. That's my advice.
Alison, great advice. Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. You don't have to, this doesn't have to be the end of anything. It can be the start of something new. And as Alison said, and we say this as comedians, all of us have friends that sometimes we don't see for like a year and we pick up where we left off, don't we?
Right, where we left off. Yeah.
That's a sign of a good friendship. Like when I see my old mate, France, sometimes I haven't
seen. Oh, he lives in Austria.
He lives in Austria. But like when we meet up again, it's like we just met the last day.
No time has passed.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you've got good, I mean, I spoke to a guy that hadn't seen for 26 years, and we just chatted for 4 hours, and it was like we just spoke the other week. So it can be very good. Also, sometimes it helps with relationships if you're not always with them.
Yes.
So I don't like the way Maureen was looking at me when she said that. But yes, actually got eye contact with me there for the first time in this entire record. But I do, I do think that both of them are right. You know, you don't. I don't think, especially in this day and age, that leaving wherever your town or whatever means that you can't maintain friendships. And also, as Alison said, it's an excuse to visit.
Yeah.
You know, and actually sometimes you end up seeing a person just as much as you did before because they want to come and visit you, and it's an excuse to get away.
When I lived in Paris, I was incredibly, incredibly popular. Everybody came to visit me. And then when I went to live near Frankfurt, my popularity declined quite steeply. No one came to visit me.
No one came. Weird, that one. I can't. Just trying to figure out what the correlation is. Yeah, what the reason might be. Well, anyway, brilliant advice, Alison, and thank you to our writer, Rinna. I hope that was helpful to you. And also congratulations on going back to school. It'll be fun times. It sounds like it's fun times ahead. Enjoy.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sorry, Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double
cream. What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream. Now it is time for us to impart to you and let you all know that we have been in front of our televisual boxes and taking it all in and manifesting and digesting.
Well, actually, I went to the cinema because I was in Birmingham this weekend and they've got a fantastic cinema there called the Electric Cinema, which it looks like it was built in the 30s.
Yes, it's beautiful.
I don't know if it was, but it's got that Art Deco look and it's got sofas in the back, which obviously is my ideal form of sitting.
Wait, what?
Yeah, got sofas in the back. The seating is very comfy anyway, but they've got sofas in the back row. So guess who was on a sofa? And I watched A Haunting in Venice, the new Kenneth Branagh movie, which is the...
I've seen that.
Have you? What did you think?
I saw that with Ingrid. I went to see it. Where were we? I want to say maybe Swindon. I can't remember. Anyway, no, not Swindon, but we were somewhere. Anyway, we had time to kill. What did I think? I saw it on a Sunday afternoon and I felt like that was the appropriate time to go and see that film. And I feel like it is a film that should be watched on a Sunday afternoon because I'm not sure if it's really a film that warrants a whole evening. Do you know what I mean? Is that bad?
Yeah, I mean, it's better than when we saw The Death on the Nile, which we both saw together, which was not very good. I think what's good about it is that you don't know the story because with Death on the Nile, everybody's seen the previous movies and stuff. I think it's better than that. It's beautifully shot. The photography is fantastic. What are you laughing at? You just read the review.
No, No. I'm just agreeing with you. But yes, it is beautifully shot. You're right. The cinematography is really great.
But do you know what I think? I think like something like Death in the Nile or the one on the Orient Express from the 70s, they're great cameos. And I think the problem is the cameos, apart from Jude Hill, the young boy, who's brilliant in it, the cameos don't really stand out. So you're not that bothered about the characters. Do you know what I mean? Whereas in the 70s...
Well, no one gets enough time on screen for you to be invested in them.
So you're not really invested in them. Kenneth Branagh's doing this kind of very serious Poirot. I mean, Poirot is a bit of a buffoon, you know, and in the 70 films they kind
of... Well, pretends to be a buffoon almost, doesn't he? Yeah, in order that people underestimate him.
But he's also quite vain and, you know, he has his...
And pompous.
You know, pompous and stuff like that, which they brought out. And, you know, like in the 70s they had, you know, Maggie Smith and Bette Davis is a kind of a double act. I mean, that's comedy gold. You know what I mean? And I think that's the problem. The characters, the cameos don't get enough time. They're not really interested in the characters. And I think it's trying to be a bit too, I don't know. It just doesn't, I mean, it's fine. It's fine to watch. It's very comfy watching it lying on a sofa at the Electric Cinema. Wasn't lying. I was obviously sitting up on a sofa in the Birmingham.
There was a sofa. You were absolutely laying down. Don't even worry.
Pretend, Maureen.
But yeah, it's watchable.
Yes, I think it's watchable. I think also you don't need to go see it in the cinema. But you know, it's kind of like a comfort movie.
Yeah.
We had time to kill before a show. So, I think we were in Basingstoke. We went to sit in Basingstoke, actually, in the cinema there. And by the way, every single seat in Basingstoke has View Cinema. It has the thing where your legs go up.
Oh,
and the chair reclines and then the legs go up so that you are basically, well, you can be almost flat lying down if you want. It's mad.
Mad type of cinema.
Yeah,
but I was like, are we in the wrong seat? So we haven't paid extra for these. And they were like, no, they're all like that. I was like, with these seats, you are spoiling me. Anyway, there were bits in it that I was like, I don't know. Anyway, it's got, the actors are in it, like Tina Fey and...
Jamie Dornan, always watching.
Jamie Dornan and all of that.
But Jude Hill is really good in it as a little boy.
A great cast, but yeah, ultimately a little bit on the disappointing side. Mm. So thank you very much for your recommendation or lack thereof, Maureen, but certainly.
It's watchable, everyone.
It's watchable.
It's definitely watchable. I have been watching a show with... Chloe, that we've just finished, which I think I recommended to Maureen a while ago. It's called Hijack. We're a bit late to the party because I know lots of people that are listening to this show will have watched it and already know about it and are like, yeah, seen it, done it, been it, in it, want it, loved it. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's on Apple TV and it stars Idris Elba as he's a negotiator for businesses, you know, like, but not like a hijack negotiator, but he has to negotiate and persuade people to make decisions in business in order to benefit his client. And anyway, he finds himself on a plane that is hijacked, and we're not quite sure why it's hijacked. It doesn't appear to be for a terrorist reason, but there is a reason that no one can figure out what it is to begin with. We see that his wife has left Idris Elba and is now in a relationship with a police officer played by Max Beasley. That's a separate story. And then we see it from air traffic control's perspective as well. And it is, and also then you see also, I suppose, from the perspective of the people that are doing the hijacking.
Mm.
Okay. So it's brilliantly written. I mean, the chap that wrote it, oh gosh, what's his name? I'll give you that information shortly. George Kay and Jim Field Smith created it. And I've got a feeling Jim... Yeah, so they're the creators and the writers of it. It's such a brilliant show. It's so tense. All of the characters, I feel like, are quite well drawn. Even the ones that, like, even in air traffic control, where you think, we don't need to know too much about these people. You get a sort of a third dimension of who they are. It doesn't go in the direction you think it's going to go. Idris Elba's character is you know, all I want to say is if I'm ever on a plane that is hijacked, can Idris Elba get in there? He needs to be on the plane. I can highly recommend it. So it's also got, Archie Punjabi, who you'd know from The Good Wife.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got, like I said, Max Beasley. I mean, the most unrealistic part of the storyline is that anyone would leave Idris Elba for Max Beasley, but that's beside the point. And then you've got all of the people that are on the hostages on the aeroplane, as well as all of the staff that are on the aeroplane. So, like, you know, the stewards and the pilots, etc. I think it's 7 episodes. It's on Apple TV. It's tense from episode 1 to episode 7. It's bloody tense. And it's so watchable and a very satisfactory ending, may I say. Thank you very much. Do watch it.
So it's watchable then?
5 stars from this lesbian.
Oh, 5 stars.
5
watchable.
Stars. Wow.
Yeah, I think so. I'm thinking, what do I want from a TV show? I want to be engaged from start to finish. I want to feel like it's believable, and I want to be engaged with the characters. So I think, yeah, 5.
Let's do the Chloe test. Did Chloe look up from her computer while watching this?
She didn't even have her computer.
What?
It's a 5. It's a 5, everyone. That is a 5.
Yeah. Chloe was totally sucked in, and every now and again she'd be like, I can't, this is too much. She was well into it.
I've never known.
It's a 5.
That is a big deal.
I think it covers all of the things that both of you like. So I think it's the Venn diagram, one of the few shows that I think that is an Alison, Maureen and Jen watch. I think this might be the first one. I think you'll all enjoy
if
it.
If only I had Apple
Maureen,
TV.
Maureen, you will have to get Apple TV. Or do what you always do and you use my login.
Shh.
Alison, talk to me about your horror recommendation.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, the other week I was talking about how I watched the movie that I love more than anything, Drop Dead Gorgeous, right?
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, and it reignited my love, or just reminded me my love for Brittany Murphy, all right? R.I.P. Love Brittany Murphy so much.
Yeah, she's
And then
great.
I was thinking about, okay, this person going back to school, and I was like, oh, what's a school kind of themed horror movie? Cherry Falls is my recommendation for this week. Oh, Cherry Falls.
I've
okay,
never
listen
heard
to
of
this.
It.
I know it went under the radar. Look, I know some people are going to be like, whatever, but okay. So, a small town sheriff, Brent Markin, discovers the presence of a serial killer in his sleepy hamlet. Since the perpetrator has been targeting only virgins, both male and female, the deaths cause panic in much of the local high school population. The sheriff's daughter, Jody, Brittany Murphy, is among the potential victims since she has yet to sleep with her boyfriend, Kenny. Can the lawman stop the killer before he goes after Jody? That's right. Killers getting virgins. You couldn't get more classic horror movie than this.
It's a classic teen horror, isn't it?
It's so like, am I going to lose my virginity so I can live? It's great. Now, the cast, this is why I love it too. Okay, the cast. I love it because we got good old Brittany Murphy. We've got Jay Mohr in it. And Jay Mohr is fantastic in this. He is great.
Is he creepy in it?
He's the teacher. He plays a very good role. Look, for a horror movie.
Oh, Jay Mohr. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'm confusing him with someone else. No.
Okay, comedian Jay Mohr.
Yeah, I know who he is.
And the fact that the two leads in this are comedic actors, I mean, I laughed out loud in some parts, okay? Because it's one of these like funny kind of horror movies, teen flick. If you want to venture into the world of horror movies, this is a great one to start off with. You're going to have a good time. You're going to have a giggle. I mean, the concept of having to lose your virginity so you don't get killed. I love it, everyone. It was great. They go to a party where they're all going to have sex. I mean, come on. You can't get more classic than this. So I really want to recommend Cherry Falls as my horror movie of the week. Yeah.
Cherry Falls is recommended by Alison June Smith. I think it's also one of the top 10 teen horror flicks of all time.
Ooh.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but I'm so happy to hear it. Yes.
Also, in terms of like reviews, let me tell you, it's not bad actually. I think for people that are actually reviewing it, so not critically, but it gets 4.3 out of 5 on Amazon.
Yay.
63% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm beginning to ignore Rotten Tomatoes because they've started saying some things are good when they're not and some things are bad when they're great. So I'm actually starting to just forget about them. IMDb, basically 5 out of 10, which actually for a horror film doesn't really mean anything.
No.
It means
no.
It could either be brilliant or whatever. So check Cherry Falls out. It doesn't sound to me like it's really gory. Is it?
It's not. It's not gory. And like I said, there's some laughy moments. Like there is chasing, is it there's like jumping out. There's that sort
like
of thing.
Like Scream kind of parallel.
Yeah. Yeah. Even less, I find Scream to be, you know, there's some scenes that might be a little brutal kill scenes. I don't even think these are. Yeah, I highly recommend it. You'll get a good few jump scares, a couple giggles. And I loved it. Yeah.
Brilliant. Cherry Falls starring Brittany Murphy. Go out and have a watch of that. Maureen Younger, I can see you in the corner of my screen and your corner has been cultured by a scientist. Please tell us about your cultural corner. Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
All right, well, we're going to have a bit of an Irish feel tonight. For this week, because
I'm into it.
The great actor Michael Gambon died recently. Absolutely fantastic actor.
Yeah,
and I didn't know he was Irish. I had no idea.
I didn't know he was Irish.
I mean,
he grew up in London, but he's Irish. And but I do find that, you know, it must piss off the Irish. But like, we do have a way of kind of in Britain of a kind of certain Irish people we just kind of take as our own. Don't really ask. I mean, to be fair, Michael Gambon did play a lot of British roles, so English roles. So, but yeah, he was actually Irish. And I just thought, you know, there are some Irish writers that are kind of in the British canon. To be fair, at the time when they lived, Ireland was part of Britain. Not all the Irish were happy with that, obviously. And there's the two most famous writers, I suppose, Irish writers that are part of the like British literature canon or considered that, are Oscar Wilde. And I think sometimes, you know, when you get somebody from outside looking into a culture, they've got a better view because things that we think of as normal, we just assume they're normal. Whereas if you've got an outside eye, you can pinpoint it more. Do you know what I mean? So like that's why Bill Bryson is very good because, you know, doesn't everybody do that? And you're like, you know, no, we don't. It's a very British thing. So so Oscar Wilde was great. His most famous play is The Importance of Being Earnest. There's a really famous 1952 version with Edith Evans as Lady Bracknell. And that's who every Lady Bracknell is measured against in her handbag. So it's a really good play. It's worth going to see. It is fun. Another good one is An Ideal Husband. And there's a 1999 version of that with Rupert Everett, Julianne Moore, Kate Blanchett and Jeremy Northam.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is that the Rupert Everett one? Yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah.
It's good. It is good.
It is good, yeah.
And the other ones are Lady Windermere's Fan, A Woman of No Importance and An Ideal Husband. He also wrote Dorian Gray, which The Picture of Dorian Gray, which I've never read. Which is a very well-known book about a young guy who keeps his looks. He makes a pact with the devil and he keeps his looks, but the painting of him turns into what he should look like. I mean, I think it's quite a good idea, to be honest. But anyway, that's worth reading. And there's also films about his life, obviously. There's one with, is it Peter Finch, the Australian actor? And there's one with...
I thought it was Stephen Fry.
Stephen Fry, that's a later version, yeah.
Okay. That's more about the relationship he has with this one chap as well.
Yeah, Bosie,
about his life.
Yeah, it's all about him ended up in Reading Prison and... Mm. And there was actually a series with Peter Egan actually in the 70s as well where he played Oscar Wilde, and the other great Irish writer that's kind of is considered part of the British literary canon, even though the Irish might not agree with that, is George Bernard Shaw.
Yes,
his plays don't get performed that much now because I think he had a lot of big social message, but obviously his most famous one is Pygmalion, which was turned into My Fair Lady, which is a bit more saccharine than Shaw originally wrote, because it is about the class system. And if you're not British, you don't understand how important the way you talk defines how you were treated
still
in Britain.
Is, isn't it?
Yeah, it still is.
You know, the RP accent is still considered the right way to speak. No,
yes.
Yeah.
And honestly,
regional accents are discriminated against.
Yeah, it's different if you're foreign, but if you're British, you know, like when I deal with authority, I actually put on a middle class, upper middle class accent, and you get treated so much better.
Yeah.
And I remember when my father got diagnosed with, it's not asbestosis, but something similar, because a lot of plumbers from the 60s got it because they used to lag pipes with asbestos.
Oh, God.
And the way the doctor talked, because my dad's very Scottish, very working class, the way the doctor talked to my father was, I was fuming. I obviously butted in, but it was, I thought you wouldn't have talked to somebody like that if they spoke RP. It's and that's what Pygmalion really is about. You know, in fact, George Bernard Shaw left money, so because he thought the English, the way people spell in English is ridiculous, which is true. And he wanted to make an alphabet which made more sense, which anybody who studies English as a foreign language would happily agree with. But in fact, there's a very funny clip with Lucille Ball and her husband, and she's giving him pronunciation rules, which of course they change from word to word. It's a very funny clip about English. But that's his most famous play. Another great play is Mrs. Warren's Profession, which was written in 1893, but wasn't performed until 1902, so almost 10 years later, because the Lord Chamberlain refused its license. So until the 60s, you had to get a license from the Lord Chamberlain.
Why?
Everything had to be approved by the Lord Chamberlain. Literature, play.
Why wasn't that one approved?
Because Mrs. Warren's Profession was being a prostitute.
I was going to say, is it about prostitution?
Yeah, and basically it's a young girl who finds out that her mother, very successful, very wealthy mother, basically became a prostitute. And what it was, it kind of went away against the tropes of, you know, fallen woman and whatever. And it's an economic thing. And what Shaw was saying is that, you know, you can only have principles if you can afford them. And if women are offered work, which at the time was often ill-paid, dangerous, starvation wages, or they can work as a prostitute and actually earn a decent living, then you can't blame women for choosing that option. If you want to stop prostitution, you need to give women more economic opportunities and benefits.
Yes, and let's say that, be honest, nothing. I mean, that still applies today.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, nothing much has changed.
What I love too is the people who, the boards or whatever, that didn't approve it's probably a bunch of men that hire a lot of prostitutes, and they were like, well, this is disgusting. People don't need to know about this.
It was the whole, you know, it wasn't going down the usual tropes. Another great play is Joan of Arc, St. Joan, which I read when I was 17. St. Joan was 17 when I read it, so I was like, oh my God. And it's a really great play, and actually it's one of the things I remember from it was that she said, I never give up, because the other person will have to give up first. And that has been one of my philosophies.
Oh, that is you all over.
And I remember reading that at 17 going, that's a really good philosophy, because somebody has to give up first. I just think, if it's not you. And it is quite, it's a very interesting play. There's a film with it with Ingrid Bergman. I haven't seen it, from the 50s. But it's an interesting play about how humankind often kills its saints and heroes, because it fits. Even though it admires what they're doing, it kind of fears.
Yeah.
Fears what they stand for.
I did a monologue from that play in grade 9, Maureen, just so
did
you know. Yeah, yeah. Big Joan of Arc fan at an early age.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very interesting story. And obviously she was a woman that she thinks that men failed at. So obviously she was going to get
punished.
Come to a sticky ending. And the other guy quickly is Samuel Beckett, who's obviously very well known for Waiting for Godot, Endgame, Crap's Last Tape, and Happy Days. And I saw Michael Gambon and Lee Evans in 2004.
Waiting for Godot.
I think it was Waiting for Godot. And I just remember Lee Evans did a thing with ladders for about 10 minutes. And it was the most hilarious thing I've ever seen.
He is.
And that was 20 years ago.
I do think about Lee Evans because he doesn't perform anymore. But
no.
He was such a, you know, If you ever saw him live, you couldn't help but like absolutely lose it. I mean, the amount of times I've seen him and I would be crying, and you know, on paper you wouldn't think that would be the sort of comedy I like. But yeah, what a fantastic physical comedian and performer, incredible.
Let's say he's a comic you wouldn't want to follow.
unfollowable. Anyone that walks off stage drenched in that much sweat. Of course you can't follow him.
Yeah.
All right, and the last guy is Martin McDonagh, who I think grew up in England, but obviously with Irish parents. And listen to this as a list. The Beauty Queen of Leanne, The Cripple of Inishman, The Lonesome West, The Lieutenant of Inishmore, which is brilliant. He's also done a few films in Bruges, Seven Psychopaths, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and The Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah, Seven Psychopaths. Wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good catalogue to
Absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely. Some of the best dialogue you'll ever see in a movie in particular. And you can tell that he's a playwright because the dialogue is always just...
He writes so well. I mean, I saw Lieutenant of Inishmore, and it's a very dark play. And the darker
it's always
it gets,
dark.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is. But this is a really dark play about a guy who's during the Troubles, who's too extreme for the IRA. And... and then wow. He goes back to his island, and people were looking after his cat, and his cat has died, and he's not happy about it. Honestly, it's so funny, and he does sex because he knows Irish. I mean, it's an Irish Brit. He must have grown up in Britain, I think, but he knows Irish politics and Irish history so well, and he dissects it so well. It's just absolutely fantastic writing, because we all know the darker you are, the funnier you've got to be.
Yes.
That's a really hard skill, which is why I don't do it. But he's such a great playwright. So that's some Irish writers for
Blimey,
you.
Blimey, Maureen, you can't say that you didn't do your blinking research for that particular cultural corner, because that was
dynamite.
Yeah, Maureen. That's a very detailed look at Irish writing there. Well done. Thank you very much for your corner that you cultured. On your own, actually. The scientist wasn't involved, for anyone that's listening.
Maureen's an excellent self-culturer. I've become more cultured just being your friend, Maureen. So I'm grateful for all the things that you have exposed me to and taught me. And I hope that you feel the same way about Cherry Falls. Now, moving on to the...
seen it. I haven't seen it.
I'll send you a VHS copy so you can watch it on your... Okay, anyway, moving on.
Yeah, I mean, I have got a video recorder. I do have a video recorder.
So we're at that point. We've learned a lot. We've been cultured. We've talked about our weeks. We've been rather positive with a write back. Thank you so much again, writer. But we want to get to that point in the episode where we talk about the shit that's getting on our tits. Jen, what's getting your goat?
Don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, okay? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society. So, no disrespect to anyone that owns a dog. Alison, I include you in this, okay?
It's okay.
It's not ranting about people or dogs even. It's not that. But we were at the beach yesterday with my children and my friend's children. And we were just having a little snack with the kids. They were having, I don't know what the hell they were having. Some of them were having mini cheddars. Somebody had a jammy dodger. Do you know what I mean? There's an array of snacks on the blanket. And a dog rocks up and starts trying to take the food out of one of the kids' hands. Okay? Now, my children don't have dogs. We don't have dogs in our family, and neither does my friend's children. So they're not familiar with dogs, and they're, to be fair, scared of dogs. So we said, okay, to the dog, right, dog, go away, please, because our children are eating. So we sort of move the dog around, go, off you go, dog. Bye-bye, dog, hoping the owner will be like, okay, I'll take my dog. The owner walks over, comes over, and we're like, okay, well, your dog is trying to eat our snacks. He went, oh, he always does that. And I went, yes, okay, but could you take your dog? And they was like, oh god, he knows I've got snacks, I don't know what he's doing. And I was like, well, he's eating my children's snacks, so could you take your dog? And we're all being very British and very polite about it, going, oh well, if you could take your dog, that would be lovely, because the children don't really like dogs. And he's like, what's he like, eh? Dogs, eh? And you're like, yes, you're the owner of the dog, take your fucking dog out of the fucking way, because they're eating, your dog is eating my children's snacks and scaring the living bejesus out of them, because your dog is bigger than my children. Anyway, he doesn't.
What?
He doesn't. He doesn't. Just stands there. In the end, it wasn't even me. You'd think it was me, but it was someone else. Takes the dog, moves the dog out, goes, right, sorry, could you take your dog, please? And the bloke goes, yep. and then starts walking away with the dog. And then the dog, we see, goes around to another set of little kids and scares the living crap out of them. This guy doesn't do anything. And we're standing there going, what is this guy doing? Of course, we were so British about it. What we should have said is, mate, can you put your dog on a lead? Because he's upsetting. There's loads of children here. And your dog is scaring the kids. But of course, we didn't do that because we were idiots. I mean, in hindsight, I should have. Because I probably would have. But you know, when you're in company, you don't. And I know Chloe would have been like, don't make a fuss. You always make a fuss. But I was so close to going, look, your dog can be off on not on a lead, but not when there's little kids around and your dog is scaring the kids. I'm sure you think your dog is fine, but we don't know your dog. And when your dog's head is in my kid's face, that makes me very cross and anxious. So that's what got my goat this week, was, is this guy not managing his pet properly?
Yes. Yes.
It was really annoying, really annoying. Yeah.
And it is annoying. And you know what? I got to be honest. I am done with dog owners that have off-leash dogs in non-off-leash areas, right? There are other humans, there are other people around, and this is, I'm a dog owner. I would never do that. That's not fair.
Of course, most dog owners wouldn't. I mean, this isn't a common experience, but this chap was being so, like, blasé about it, like, ugh, you know what dogs are like? Like, look, mate, it's a dog, so I'm not even blaming the dog. I'm blaming you.
Yeah.
Because you are supposed to manage your dog. Of course your dog is going to want to eat food if it's lying around, but it's your responsibility to take your dog and go, no, you don't eat other people's food. You're coming with me. I'll put you on the leash if you don't listen. That's all you want, is a little bit of, like, manage your dog.
Because how would that guy feel if he was sitting there having, you know, a picnic with his family and your children came running over and started to take food from, right?
Oh, like, don't think for a second he wouldn't
lost his mind.
Scream the living.
But also there's a thing, I mean, depending how big the dog is, you know, your child, even if they bit somebody, they're not going to kill somebody. You've got certain dogs wandering around that if they bit you, that's it. Do you know what I mean? It's a completely different thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure this dog wasn't going to bite anyone. This dog was really interested in the snacks. But it's like, you know, come on. It kind of, that's the sort of thing that really does sort of get my goat. I'm like, you just manage your pets, everybody. Look at Maureen. She manages Jamie so well.
Yeah, I built him a tree.
Her a tree.
Oh, yeah, her a tree.
Oh, poor Jamie's going to be so confused. Oh, yeah.
She's going to be so confused. As I said, we don't know how Jamie's identifying anyway, so we can't even make that presumption. Anyway, that's what got my goat. But generally life, you know, I'm not working tonight, guys. So could you?
Woo!
And you're getting to see me Friday. What more can you want?
Getting to see Maureen Friday. See how the week starts well. I mean, it doesn't. It kind of gets worse as the week goes on.
Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Oh, you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats.
Will that do?